Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. May he be glorified forever and ever. Welcome everyone to the live broadcast on Easter Sunday here in Baltimore Christian Faith Center. I was going back this afternoon and we had a little over 100 views this morning, and that was quite a delight to see that people are receiving the message, that they're watching and viewing. So praise God for that. May his name be glorified. And I would like to start out with a word of prayer. So please join me with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We worship you and we praise you. And Lord, I thank you for another wonderful day that you have given us. This beautiful, Lord, wonderful day that is today, the day that our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we worship you, Lord, and we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the lives of everyone who is watching this evening, who want to come closer to you and know you more. And Lord, I pray a special blessing, Lord, to all of them. We thank you, Father, for everything. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Exalted be your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So, for those of you who might know me, oftentimes I like to present things with a question. And I like to ask a question to get people to start thinking and to stir things up and get the wheels turning and get your mind processing and putting things together and getting your senses to move and whatnot. So the question that I have here this evening is, did you know that God knows best? And that is the title to my sermon. God knows what is best. God knows what is best. And we hear it all the time. All the time we hear it on sermons. We hear it on people, commentators and commentaries and preachings and whatnot, counseling. But when push comes to shove, do we really trust that statement, that God knows best? And how many of us are guilty of questioning God's motives, of wondering why a certain thing happened, and wondering why we're in this situation, or wondering why these things occur? In light of what's happening right now around the world, something that the world, I don't think, has ever seen before. It's to my understanding that something like this has never swept the world. Not the nation, not the continent, the entire world. From one end to the other end. And in so many different areas of life, sometimes we are taken up and swallowed up by circumstances that oftentimes makes us question our faith, makes us wonder, is God really watching? It makes us question whether or not the Lord is mad at us. But nonetheless, in every single circumstance, in every single situation, the Lord our God knows best. And to illustrate what I'm trying to say to you this evening, I would like to share with you a little story. And here's the story. The story is told about a king who had a close friend. This friend had a habit of looking at every situation that ever occurred in his life, the situation being positive or negative, by remarking this, quote, "This is good. God knows what is best." Again, doesn't matter what the circumstance is, doesn't matter what the situation, positive or negative, he would always remark, quote, "This is good. God knows what is best." One day, the king and his friend were out on a hunting expedition. The friend would load and prepare the guns for the king, but he had apparently done something wrong in preparing one of the guns, because after taking the gun from his friend, the king fired it and his thumb was blown off. Ooh, not a very good scenario there, if you ask me. Examining the situation, the friend remarked as usual, "This is good. God knows what is best." To which the king replied, "No, this is not good," and ordered his soldiers to put his friend into jail. About a year later, the king was hunting in an area that he should have known to stay clear of. Cannibals captured the king and took him to their village. They tied his hands, stacked some wood, set up a stake, and bound him to it. As they came near to set the fire on the wood, they noticed that the king was missing a thumb. Being superstitious, they never ate anyone who was less than whole. So after untying the king, they chased him out of the village. Praise God indeed. When the king reached his palace, he was reminded of the event that had taken his thumb and felt remorse for his treatment of his friend. He immediately went to the jail to speak with his friend. "You were right," the king said. "It was good that my thumb was blown off." And he proceeded to tell the friend all that had just happened. "I am very sorry for sending you to jail for so long. It was bad for me to do this. Very bad for me to do this." "No," his friend replied. "This is good. God knows what is best," was the reply of his friend. "What do you mean this is good? How could it be good that I sent my friend to jail for an entire year?" The king's friend replied, "Remember that God Almighty knows best, and if I had not been in jail, I would have been with you on that hunting trip." Oh boy. And he would have been somebody's lunch. Ooh, God knows what's best. Yes, he does. If you were to ask me, I would rather be locked up than being somebody's lunch. All day, every day. 100%. Praise the Lord. God knows what's best. He really knows what's best. Now, this is just so you know, the story is not a true story. However, the message of the story is true. And how we need a faith that truly believes that we have a God who is in control of every single thing. Of every single thing. And how many times have we wondered and sat and asked God, "Lord, why this? And why that? Why am I stuck in this house for so long? Why is it that I can't go anywhere? Why are things just not working out?" I can't help but remember a time in my life where things just weren't working out at all. A lot of you who are regular members from this congregation know my history. You guys know me from years ago. And you know where how far I've came to where I am now, to the honor and glory of his name. But if it wasn't for some very unfortunate circumstances that happened in my life, I would not have come running to the Lord. And maybe I should have said sprinted. I would not have come sprinting to the house of God, asking for forgiveness and asking him to give me another chance. And the Lord knew what was best at that very time in my life. And how we need a faith that can say, as Joseph did, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Do you know that scripture? Do you know the story of Joseph? And how he was betrayed by his own family members? And how things happened? Can I please have Genesis 50, verses 20? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Look at that. If it wasn't for the fact of all of the mishaps, all of the uncircumstances that happened in the life of Joseph, do you think that he would be in a position to save the lives of millions, millions of people? Ever. Of course, he didn't know this at the time, but he was faithful. He kept his faith. He stayed true to his God. Notice how all things work together for the good in this particular situation, as mentioned in the New Testament. Why did God choose to bestow the birthright blessings to Joseph? Potentially, you find the key answer to the verses that we just read. And Moses wrote this in Genesis chapter 49, verse 26. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of your ancestors up to the outmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was, and here's the key word here, separated from his brothers. God honored Joseph because he was separated from his brothers. He was separated in that he alone remained faithful to his God. Clearly noticeable by their absence are the names of Joseph's brothers from the faith chapter. And potentially you might be thinking, well, what is the faith chapter? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 does not mention Reuben. It doesn't mention Judah. It doesn't mention Dan or Gad or any other of Jacob's sons. Verses 22 emphasizes Joseph's faithfulness and only his faithfulness. And can I please have Hebrews 11, 22? By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones by faith. And one thing is also worthwhile mentioning. Diminishing his brother's fears of punishment and revenge, Joseph explained his understanding that God had placed him in power of Egypt. God has strategically placed him right at that time in that exact place for a purpose. Mind you, it might have started off a little bit rough, but all things came out together perfectly fine. Can I please have Genesis 45:7? And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. You see that there? It doesn't matter what your situation might be. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God has it all under control. And to his dying day, he never broke faith with his brothers. To the very end, he never held a grudge. He was never bitter. He never questioned whatsoever. And as recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 50, he reassures them of their well-being after their father's death. Can I please have that? Genesis 50, 21 and 22. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. It is important to note that Joseph was never bitter, nor did he ever break faith in his God. It is very important for us to note this, that no matter how hard things might be, potentially you might think this is just not fair. It's not fair at all. By all means, trust the Lord. The Lord knows what is best for you and I. This is the faith that Joseph had. And know, oh, how we should have the faith, as Paul did also, when he said, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. And we can find that scripture in Romans chapter 8, verses 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are the called according to his purpose. It may not always seem so, however. It may not always seem that things are going right. Sometimes when we are suffering heartbreak, when we are suffering tragedy, disappointment, frustration, we wonder what good can come out of all these things that's happening to us at that particular time in our lives. But the following verse gives the answer. Whatever God permits to come into our lives is designed to conform us to the image of His Son. When we see this, it takes the question mark out of your prayer. When we see this, it takes away the bitterness. It gives us confidence. It gives us hope. Our lives are not controlled by forces, impersonal forces, such as luck, such as chance or fate. No, not at all. But by our wonderful, personal Lord, who is too loving to be unkind and too wise to make mistakes. Nothing that happens to us is by luck. Nothing that happens to us who fear God is by chance. It's all designed for the honor and glory of His name. And we should have that trust. We should have that faith in knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God. And I love God. I tell Him this every single day. I tell Him all the time, almost all day long. I tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I love you. Yes. I know that if I like to hear it, I know my Lord loves to hear it too. Praise God. And oh, how we should have a faith that can say, as James did. As a matter of fact, let's go there. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And how hard is it for us to count it all as joy? How hard is it for us? You know, you're not working, you lost your job, and the first thing you say is, yes, praise God. But that takes discipline, though, I tell you. That takes commitment. When we know that we know that we know that we know that God will take care of us. It's like saying that I might say that this stand right here is black, right? This stand right here is black. But then you might walk up to the stand and say, Pastor, that stand is orange. And then at first I'm going to look at you funny. But then I'm going to say, no, it's black. I said, no, Pastor, it's orange. But I know that I know that I know that I know that this stand right here is black. And you can't tell me otherwise. I just know. This is conviction. It's not faith. I mean, I know. You can't tell me that this is any other color but black. This is the faith that we need to have to our God. For I know, I am convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord will take care of me, that the Lord will bless me, that He will guide my path, because I know that all things work together for me who loves the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh, that we should have that faith. Absolutely. 100%. Praise God. And it is so easy to look back over our lives and see how God has been there for us every single step of the way, how He has taken care of us and provided for us. But how difficult it is to see God at work during our pain and our suffering. How difficult it is for us sometimes. But may God increase our faith. May God increase our closeness to Him. Even in times where as though things are difficult, even in times when things are unsure, unpredictable, we just know that we know that we know that the Lord has it all under control because He knows what is best. May He help us to see Him in all that we experience and truly believe that God knows what is best. Praise the Lord. I'd like to conclude here this evening with a word of prayer. Please close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we are convinced that you love us, and you love us so. Every single one of us, Lord, every one of us. No matter our pasts, no matter what we have done, you still love us so much. And we love you, Lord. We love you. And Lord, may every single one of us have 100% trust in you and know without a shadow of a doubt that you will take care of us, that you will keep us. Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking care of us. And Lord, may we see the good in every single situation. May we not just praise your name, Lord, in the good times, but also, Lord, in the opposite, in the uncertain times, in the bad times. May your praises, Lord, always reside on our lips. May your love, Lord, always be in our hearts, maintaining us, Lord, taking us through and through. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, your compassion, Lord, towards us. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I made an announcement that next Sunday I would like to have communion. And if we are not allowed to gather next Sunday, as it has been for the past few weeks, I would like for you to join me in taking communion. So in order for that to happen, you must prepare, you must prep. You pour. If you have some grape juice, that'll be perfect. If not, whatever you have at home. It could even be water. Pour some inside of a cup. Have a piece of bread off to the side. And I wish that you would join me in communion after the sermon. Well, thank you so much for joining me this evening. And I pray that you will have a blessed week. I will be back on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. I pray that you will join us then. Praise God, and God bless you. Amen.